Well, I have something a little embarrassing to tell you this morning. I realized I had one of those yellow Tubi things on the side of my mailbox. And it was funny because I'm talking about yellow Tubi things that you have on the side of your mailbox, and I honestly didn't even know we had one. I don't remember when we put it on, and if it wouldn't have been so cold late in the week, I probably would have taken it off, but then I would have had to paint the post, and I got lots going on. But it's weird how you can, you know, they say you get nose blind to thing, like you don't know how bad your car smells. Like, honestly, you don't know how bad your car smells. No one in particular, but I didn't realize we had one of those on our mailbox, but sometime, I'm guessing it was in the 90s, we've lived in our home since 96, and at some point, we decided we would subscribe to the newspaper, and I don't remember exactly when we stopped subscribing to the newspaper. I know it just went sort of in succession. We started out subscribing to the newspaper, and then after a while, we realized we were just throwing away the daily and keeping the Sunday, and then after a while, we realized we were throwing away all of the Sunday, except my wife liked the ads and liked the Walmart circular and the coupons, and then after a while, we were like, why are we subscribing to this? And we would go, I remember going to Rutter's every Sunday after church and grabbing a paper off the rack and then like sort of husking it like an onion and throwing everything away except the coupons. And then after a while, we just stopped doing that. But for some reason, I still have the mailbox thingy on the side of my mailbox, and you might as well. Now, bad news for newspapers because it's not going well for them. Less and less people are subscribing to newspapers every day, but I did notice that it's a really, really great time to have to sell one of the newspaper Tubi things, because if you notice, this one says Vintage Daily News Newspaper Delivery from Rural Middle PA, so I'm holding on to mine. I think I'll sell mine in a few years. Someone was asking, it cracked me up, they were asking $49.99 for like the worn out tube they got for free. But bad time for newspapers, great time for newspaper delivery tubes. I don't know about your house if you have one. I don't think legally you can put crap in my mailbox because that actually belongs to the post office. So mine, I'm just honestly, I think when I looked in it, I go, oh, this is where they put like the replacement window circulars and 1,000 like Chinese takeout menus. That's all that's in mine. But bad time for newspaper, but the thing about it is people still want to see the news. You know, we still want news updates. We just get them on our phone, not in paper that they deliver to our house. We want photos, obviously. We get them on our phone. They don't deliver them to the house. We still want sales ads. In fact, Best Buy thinks I want a sales ad like every morning. They're like, here's what happened at Best Buy overnight. And I'm like, I don't know how I got on their subscription list. Probably bought a couple TVs there. I swear to you, I've unsubscribed a million times, but Best Buy still lets me know every morning what they have for sale. Classified ads. And this one I was thinking about this week, like, I do remember when you actually looked in the paper. I was like, that's what we got the paper for. You would actually look in the paper for classified stuff. That was before Craigslist. I mean, who can remember before Craigslist? But we still want that and coupons. That's still a thing. I was walking into Lowe's. It was funny, just this week, I'm talking about, hey, we still want coupons, and I've met someone that I know, another contractor. He's like, hey, are you going to spend over $100? And I was like, this is Lowe's. I don't think you can spend less than $100. He's like, hey, I've got a $20 off coupon on my phone. He literally texts me $20 coupon. It actually worked. I was amazed at that. But we still want all of the things that the newspaper used to deliver to our house, except maybe for comics. I don't know what that was about. And that's a Sunday comic. Like, if you remember newspapers, like, they would put the best comic in on Sunday, and apparently that one was the best because that was not black and white. But we want all of those things still. And as I've been thinking about more and more this month, the more I think about subscriptions, I go, my goodness, this has to be the golden age of subscriptions. There's more things than ever to subscribe to. I mean, last week we talked about all the, you know, there's food and obviously music, and there's Netflix that we all subscribe to. And I realized, like, we subscribe to Hulu and we haven't watched that in months for some reason, but we still subscribe to that. And you subscribe to your podcasts and maybe your Spotify account and maybe your razors come in the mail now. We were talking about like subscribing to food. Like you think, well, I don't know how much, you know, pop chips I use, I don't know, 3-4 cases a month. And so you subscribe to that, and after a while you just have a basement full of like corn chips or something. But there's so many things that we subscribe to. I even found out this week, I didn't know you could subscribe to underwear. Had I known that in college, I would have never went to the laundromat, because I wouldn't have. It would have been great. But we want to subscribe to things. And so what I did this week, hope you had a better week than I did, because what I did this week is I actually did a little research and did a little homework, because I was interested in sort of why we subscribe to things. And it turns out there's three reasons that everyone subscribes to everything and they don't change. The first one is access, which sort of makes sense. Like, for example, with the newspaper, people subscribe to the newspaper because at one time, that was where you got your news, right? If you wanted news, you needed to read the newspaper or wait until someone talked to you somewhere and told you the news. And so that's how newspapers came into existence. That's how newspapers became big business, is they granted us access to fairly recent news from all over the world and the nation. And the second thing, and this is pretty standard marketing across every sort of subscription that we have, from music to razors to, I guess, underwear. I guess if that was the only place you could get access to underwear, or it was the best price for underwear, that would cause people, and it obviously does, people are subscribing to that. And the second part of that, though, the second factor that makes us, if you think about this, why you subscribe to things, and maybe you've never thought, like, why do I subscribe? It's not just access, though, is it? It's also this thing called curation, which is a weird word. But it's an idea of, we want a curator. We want someone to bring us the best of something, or bring us things we don't know about. And that's sort of where the subscription boxes come in, don't it? They say, like, we'll find the best snacks for you, or we'll find the best toys for your pet, or we'll find the... And to some extent, magazines used to say that to us, right? Like, if we talked about Time magazine last week, like, if you want to know the most important news of the 6 weeks ago, you will buy Time magazine. Or if you want to get the best pictures of hot rods, you're gonna join Hot Rod magazine. Or there was just like, we wanted, and we still want, it's just a thing, curation. We want people to pick sort of the best and the newest. And so there's not just can we access something, we want someone to curate it for it. And then finally, there's a element of replenishment. Like, for something to be something you would subscribe to, it has to be something that you use on at least a semi-regular basis. You're not going to subscribe to something that you can get once and never need again. And so these three factors are why people used to subscribe to the newspaper, and why they used to subscribe to magazines, and they're why we now subscribe to maybe Blue Apron or some sort of food prep service, because they give us access to better food or eat more easily prepared food, and someone picks out recipes we would have never thought of, and we need food on a regular basis. So these three factors, I was finding, like, and I read across different studies, and these three factors always came up, and they just sort of make sense, but they're also sort of the same reasons why people unsubscribe to everything. People unsubscribe because people don't need or can't get access to this anymore, or more importantly, like, the reason why we don't subscribe to newspapers anymore, quite simply because we can get that news easier and better from somewhere else. We can get that same news, you like, just popping up on our phone, or we can pop up on our tablet and see it. We don't need to wait for the actual paper to come. And so that's why people unsubscribe. And that's why it's a bad time to be in that business. And the curation part of it is also the reason why we unsubscribe to things. You know, we start out going, oh, this is the best news, or this is the kind of news that I want to read, or this is, you know, this happens with the boxes all the time. We start out ordering one of these subscription boxes, and we go, this is great stuff, and after a while, we're like, I don't know what they're thinking, because quite honestly, they must not even know me, because it is just not what I want anymore. And so we unsubscribe for the same reason. And finally, replenishment. If we get to the point like we did at our house. We were subscribing to some food items. And then they just started piling up. And there's this sort of corollary to subscription I found. If you go, you know what, we need this, and we're going to subscribe and save to this on Amazon. For some reason, as soon as the box started rolling in, at least in our family, we stopped wanting that thing. It doesn't matter what it is. It's like, oh, that we love that food, or we love those chips, or we love that kind of coffee. And then as soon as you start seeing the subscription come, and it seems like you got to sort of keep up with it, it's like, I'm off those totally. So for those same three reasons, people unsubscribe. And now, here's why I wanted to talk to you about that, not to just give you some sort of like seventh grade marketing class about why people subscribe. I wanted to talk to you about that because we've been asking people to subscribe to church for going on 11 years, which is hard to imagine now. We've been asking people to subscribe to an idea, really, not a thing. We're not going, hey, get this box of church to come to your house, or hey, come here and get your box of church. We've been asking people to subscribe to this idea. And I don't have to tell you that less people in our world are subscribing to church. And so I've been thinking about that a lot. And here's the sort of really embarrassing thing. As I was thinking about this, I actually found a newspaper article about Action Church. And notice, even though it's online now, they wanted us, they're like, please subscribe, please subscribe. I don't know what you're subscribing to, but it just kept flashing on there. I was like, isn't this funny? Like, I'm trying to read this article from 2008, and it's still saying subscribe, subscribe. Now, this is going to be more embarrassing than reading the telling you about my newspaper Tubi thing. I'm just going to read, and yeah, that's me. Notice I have a real Bible. I didn't have an iPad back then. There weren't iPads back then, and you can't fold iPads. But you know what I remember about my Bible? It always worked, which that was cool, because this isn't working. And notice I had a clicker in my hand, though, and that never worked. So some things never change. But let me just read this to you this morning, because it is, at least to me, so cringy. It says, excuse me, it says, York. And this was Associated Press that went out. It says, for an hour on a recent Sunday morning, Fat Daddy's nightclub became Action Church, billed as church for people who don't like church. Remember, that's how we started out. We didn't make that up. We actually stole that from someone else. But after a while, it's kind of like going, hey, we're a steakhouse for people who don't like meat, you know, and so it seems sort of weird. So we changed to go, what are we for, not what are we against? And so we said, love God, love people, take action. And it said, this is a great tagline, it says, no pews, no organ, no problem. For an hour, I told you, it's like, oh. For an hour on a recent Sunday morning, Fat Daddy's nightclub became Action Church. Build a church for people who don't like church. In its second week, Action Church drew about 50 people for loud Christian rock, a biblical message, free donuts, and coffee at 11 a.m. And notice they're like, this is important. People were dressed in jeans and sweats. It's like, just, you could have stopped it. People were dressed, and that would have been awesome with me. But it was like, people are dressed in jeans and sweats. Can you imagine? Imagine a world where people come to church in sweatpants. And they said, that was probably me. And they sat in front of a band or on stools at the bar, and then the parentheses, which was closed. They listened to the loud Lancaster band, Unsettled, play under a purple and red stage. Now, here's the funny part. This is the loud Lancaster band. They were called Unsettled, and we actually heard them this morning, part of them at least. That is Michael Ferrari with no beard when he was 13, when he played at one of the first Action Church services. That is just crazy. But let me read on. They listened to the loud Lancaster band Unsettled play under purple and red stage lights. And to muffle the bass, this made me laugh because it still happens, some visitors stuffed their ears with foam plugs provided at the door. Oh my God, was that loud. If you thought this was loud this morning, you never heard Jake the sound man at Fat Daddy's play. Greatest sound man ever, but it was so freaking loud. Now, here's a great part. It says, in the upstairs bar, the go-go platforms were covered up for Sunday school. That was true. I remember my daughter swinging around one of those poles as we got ready, and I'm like, I don't ever want to see that again. It said, the 15 children heard a lesson titled God is Love, and that was cool. Now, here's where it gets really cringy. They're talking about this hip, young, 39-year-old pastor. He said, after the band set, Don Record, 39-year-old pastor, preached using the structure of VH1's popular Behind the Music series to explain the ups and downs of the early church. Yes, I was talking about Behind the Music. And then, this is just awful. I agree with this part. It says Don Record explained, usually it says Dave Record, so they actually got my name right, explained the mission of Action Church to put the teachings of Jesus into action, still for that. And it said, indeed, people's perception of Jesus depends on what they see his followers do, and that's why Action Church meets at a bar. Record wants to connect with people who don't normally go to church, and to do so, you go where churches usually don't. I'm sure I stole that quote as well. Jesus would do it if he were here, Record says. He sees Action Church within the spirit of a large and diverse movement called the Emerging Church. If I said that, I'm an idiot, because we're not. The emerging church sort of emerged away from Jesus and the Bible, and I'm sure I just went, yeah, I think we're part of that, because I was dumb. It says, especially for people who've been turned off by conventional congregations, and then we became a conventional congregation. This is what's fun, though. It says, to draw in youth and stay interesting, they embrace pop culture. Record introduced his sermon with a clip from American Idol and mentioned NASCAR, Aerosmith, the Acts of the Apostles, Elvis, Diarrhea, Forrest Gump, and John the Baptist in his message. Oh my goodness. I was reading this, I was like, yeah, that sounds about right. But like all of those things, man. I don't think I would do most of those things if we started Action Church today. But here's the thing about it. Like, even though VH1 is gone and newspapers are gone and we didn't know what, I saw my first iPhone, I think that Sunday, Josiah talked about iPhones a few weeks ago, like, and I remember Garrett holding it up to me and I'm like, that's never going to sell. You got to get a BlackBerry, brother. That's where it's at. But here's the thing about it. Like, I think that people subscribe to churches for the same reason they subscribe to anything. I think they subscribe for the very same reason they subscribe to anything. They want access and curation. And quite frankly, one thing we know about this thing called Christianity, whatever you might think of it, it's something that has to be refreshed. And here's the truth. Like, people unsubscribe for the same reasons. People unsubscribe from church, and the reason why we've seen people unsubscribe from church is either they don't want or feel like they can get access to God without it. And as far as curation, they feel like that church isn't the best place to decide like what they should hear about God, about the Bible, about Christianity. And they're missing out on my awesome sermons about VH1, Behind the Music, Diarrhea, Forrest Gump. I don't even remember the list. Like, but who wouldn't want that? But for some reason, the same reason that people subscribe, I think it's these same three things. And here's the thing. I was thinking a lot about, like, what has changed in these last 11 years. In a sense, there is more access to many of these things outside of the church. Like, there was a time, and it wasn't 11 years ago, but there was a time if you really wanted to hear preaching, if that's your thing, and you want to hear preaching, like, you had to go to a church. We were trying to stream it, at least, this morning for free, online, just out there. And every week we provide a podcast. I mean, there was a time that if you wanted access to the Bible, now this isn't 2008, but much further back, you had to go to the church because the Bible was literally chained to the front of the church because it was very expensive before the printing press. You want the Bible? You got to go to church. And by the way, you can't touch it or read it because you probably don't even know how to read it. And so you need a religious professional to read it to you. But now, since Action Church started, we have the YouVersion app where I can read the Bible standing in line at Lowe's in any translation I can even imagine and cross-reference and do things that probably 20 years ago preachers would have a library full of books to do the things I can do standing in line at Lowe's, because that was one of the things I did this week to prepare. And I can Google all of the marketing data on subscription while I'm standing there. And none of that stuff existed. And if you're thinking about, like, oh, the church provides preaching or access to the Bible, well, we live in a world now where if you want good advice for your life, a lot of people will go, yeah, I still want that, but I'm not going to go to the church for it, and I'm not going to go to the Bible for it. I mean, I can listen to a podcast that has preaching, if you will, from like Jordan Peterson or Sam Harris or someone, and they're going to give me lots of great advice, and it's going to be well thought out, and I don't need any of that. And this morning, there's just so, I mean, charity. One thing that the church used to provide is sort of access to charity. Other than the United Way, if you wanted to give to people, if you wanted to serve people, the church was a great outlet for it. Big part of the community service came through the church, came through charity, came through people gathered in their local church. And quite frankly, that has changed in the last 10 years a lot. Like when we first started out doing service projects, seems sort of like, wow, you did what? And now people go, yeah, I did two of those at my office this week. Or hey, you know, yeah, I gave to the Kickstarter and the GoFundMe on the way here, so I'm good. I've given to people this week. So none of these things I'm going, hey, the church should get back to these things, or hey, the church is missing out, or hey, they're stealing our thunder. None of that. Like, you can get donuts anywhere. We don't own the donut business. In fact, if I were starting Action Church today, we would probably have a more keto-friendly, we would have a more keto-friendly snack, because I feel like maybe that's even going to be like, people are going to be like, can you lay off on the donuts? Community. The church has always been, through the years, like maybe people would go because of community. Well, guess what, gang? You can gain that even today, even though we stay at home more and even though we're pretty lonely people. Join CrossFit. Join a martial arts gym. Join a gym. There's other places besides the church to get community and life coaching. Everybody's a life coach. You don't need to come to me for life coaching and advice. You know, there was a time where if you wanted access to wisdom, you would probably go, hey, I'm going to go to my pastor. That's not what people do. And so that's probably why the church attendance chart looks a lot like, you can put the church attendance chart up here. It looks a lot like the newspaper subscription chart. The numbers don't look great for church attendance, at least in America. Now, side note, you might think, oh my goodness, like, no one's going to go to church soon. Well, when this country started, I was shocked to hear this in a history podcast a couple of months ago, and I actually checked it out, that church attendance was far lower when this country was started. Now, it might have been due to access, but when this country started, and we're coming off this great peak of church attendance that happened in the 40s, 50s, 60s, and now we're on the downward slope of that. But here's the thing about it. And I say all that not to complain or not to go, oh, so that's why people don't come to church, or that's why, you know, church is failing. I do that to say, if you put up people subscribe to things for a lot of different reasons. Just like there were some people that subscribed to the newspaper, if you put up that slide for me, people subscribe to different things for different reasons. People subscribe for the newspaper for different reasons, right? Like I told you, my wife, all she wanted out of it was, and I'm sure a lot of people, they wanted the coupons and the ads. And we would just throw the rest away because God knows I don't read the sports section. There was a time, like, if I was looking for a job when I was much younger, you know, I might grab, peel off the classifieds and look for a car in there or look for a job. But people subscribe to the newspaper for different things. And so people left the newspaper for different reasons. Like when Craigslist came along, if your only deal is getting classified ads, well, you don't need the newspaper anymore. And, you know, when you could get coupons and you could get sales ads on your phone, well, guess what? After a while, you didn't need the newspaper for that. But here's the thing about it. Like, when it comes to the church, even though maybe you don't need the church for community, or you might not need the church to be involved in charity, or you might not need the church to be involved in service to others, or you might not want preaching. Like, I can get better preaching than me every day of the week on podcasts. Like, I can listen to the best preachers in the world. I do some weeks. But here's the thing that the church actually is. What we're actually subscribing to, and what you're subscribing to, and I'm asking you to subscribe to this idea of church, was never designed to be necessarily any of those things. It's not that they weren't important. It's not that they couldn't exist. When we say church in Scripture, and when I talk to you about church, the idea of church was just Christian people. People ascribed to the fact that Jesus is the Christ. Whoever that was in the community, that was the church. Whatever building they met in, whatever house they met in, that was the church. And so I've come to think, as I've been thinking about it this week, and it's been a tough week of just thinking through this and trying to decide, like, what is it that the church, just imagining, like, what will the church become, and how should we deal with these facts that, like, all of the things that at one point were huge selling points for the church, like, hey, you got to come here and get access to this. Hey, you need to come here, and if you want to be in community, if you want to be an upstanding member of the community, you should come to this. Or, hey, if you want to hear good preaching, you need to come to church. Or, hey, if you want to learn about the Bible, you better come to church. Or, hey, if you want to be involved in serving your neighbor, you better come to church. But here's the thing, like, bad news for newspapers isn't really bad news for news, is it? See, even though no one at some point will subscribe to an actual hard copy newspaper, I noticed this week, I was like, I hadn't seen a newspaper in a while. They're getting really small. Eventually, they're going to be like a tiny little sheet if they do still print them. But bad news for newspaper is not necessarily bad news for news, because I know a lot of journalists got laid off this week, but people still want news more than ever. And I've been thinking, bad news for church attendance and bad news for church buildings and bad news like for church staff and bad news for church organizations, I don't think that's bad news for good news. And I know that's a very punny, bad, stupid thing to say, but like, the good news is what we're about. And so I want to read the good news to you. I'm going to try to get this to pull up. Sorry to keep pulling this down, but I really need to see this to be able to read it. This is the thing that Jesus said. And I read this to you last week, and I don't think we can like overemphasize sort of how radical and how important this still is. This idea. I think I might have my Bible next week. I'm just saying. Nobody's fault. It's just happening. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. And I love this part. There is more than enough room in my Father's home. If this were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I'll come and get you, so that you will always be with me where I am. And you know the way to where I am going. And then Thomas said, no, we don't know, Lord. We have no idea where you're going. So how can we know the way? And then Jesus said these words. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one can come to the Father except through me. See, this is a tough thing to subscribe to, and I get that. But this is really the point of the church, of the Christian church. It's this, that of all the things that you can get access to anywhere else, and quite frankly, you can get access to them probably in a more convenient fashion, in an easier fashion. You don't have to go anywhere. It'll pop right up on your phone. It might be more exciting, but subscribing to the way and the truth and the life, that is exclusive to Jesus, if you choose to believe that, which I do. And I was thinking a lot about this week. I was like, oh my goodness. I've never really thought about like why he said way, truth, and life all together like that. Really what he was saying is like the way, like access to the Father comes through me. Like he very clearly said, if you want to get to God, if you want to get to God's plan for his creation, it comes through me. That's access. And this whole truth thing, that's the ultimate curation. Truth is the ultimate curation. It's like allowing someone else, think about this, allowing someone else that you could totally trust and knew so much more than you, was all-knowing And that person would sort of curate reality and say, this is true and this is not true. Because that is becoming a difficult thing to know, isn't it? I get where I don't believe anything. And that might just be because I'm getting old. Like, we were talking about bands, and I was like, I didn't think that was a real band. I thought I was being punked. I didn't believe it. That's just part of being old. But how many times do you see a news, it's not a newspaper, but a news article come up on your phone, and you go, and it's funny, because you would say different things. Some of you are on the right, and I love the fact Action Church has got people on the right, and people on the left, and people all mixed up in the middle. But all of us would agree on this one thing. You might not vote for the same people, but all of you would agree that it's very hard to tell sometimes what's true and what is not. And so Jesus offered us sort of this ultimate curator of reality. He said, I am the truth. And then there's the replenishment factor, because life, that's not a one and done thing, is it? Like, flourishing in life, actually living a life that matters and living a life that works and living a life that gets you somewhere and living a life that actually is not just satisfying but also like helpful to the people around you, that's something that you have to replenish. It doesn't come with like one set of, you load these one instructions and you just go out like a robot and do life. You need that all the time. And that's what Jesus offered. He said, I am the way and I'm the truth and I'm the life. And you should subscribe to me, because I give you all the reasons that people subscribe to anything. Jesus said, that is one person, that's me. And that's what I'm still excited about. See, I realize, like, if I had to start this thing again, and I don't mean like I'm the only person who started it, it was a team. But I'm saying, if I was part of a church startup today, I don't know if I would make any of the same choices again. Like, I don't know, and thankfully, like, younger, smarter people than I have to deal with that. Like, how do you start a church in 2019? I wouldn't have the faintest clue. But this, I feel the same way. Actually, I feel a whole lot stronger about it than I did in 2008. Because here's what I know. Like, Jesus offers us something that I can't get anywhere else. It says, for the law, this is from John also, and this is sort of one of the most powerful things you can find in Scripture. We don't talk about this enough. For the law was given through Moses. Like, yes, there is right and wrong, and God sent Moses to go, hey, if you want to be my people, understand this is right and this is wrong. He's right. But grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. And grace and truth is a very big deal. I was thinking about this week. Like, I think in 2008 when we started church, from my perspective, there was a lot of grace missing in our world, especially in the Christian world. And I'm glad I got to be a part of a group of people that offered grace to people who maybe weren't feeling that from the church. Like, it just felt like, oh, we're offering a lot of truth. Here's what's wrong with you, and here's what's sinful, and here's your problem. But we weren't offering the grace to just go, hey, come in here. We love you anyway. You know, like, Jesus loves you just the way you are. Just, he doesn't want you to stay that way because he loves you too much. Just come on in here. You're welcome. And that was a big part of why we started Action Church. Like, that's why we met in a bar. That's why, like, just some friends and I said, where would we invite our friends and how would we do it if we were just trying to invite our non-Christian friends or people who didn't go to church or people who quit going to church, people who were sick of church? Like, how would we do that? And that's what we were doing. But in 2019, maybe we extend grace, not just at Act Church, but in our complete society. It feels like there's just tons of grace for anything. I was trying to think this week, and I challenge you to think of something that you can do that someone won't support you for and just go, hey, way to go. Great, I'm with you. Like, there's plenty of grace. Grace is very, very cheap in our society right now. Like, you can get away with almost anything. I could name like maybe one or two things you can't get away with, and that would just make half of you angry and the other half would also hate me, so I won't. But most things we can completely get away with. There's just grace everywhere. Yeah, come on in. Let your freak flag fly. We don't mind. But there's not as much truth. But here's the thing. Jesus wasn't talking about that he was grace or truth. Grace or truth is pretty cheap. Like, we can do that. In fact, every one of your couples, one of you, I find this, like, one of you leans toward grace and the other one leans toward truth, and that's how you can discipline your kids. It's actually helpful. But grace and truth together is amazing. Grace and truth together is an alloy that changes the world. It's like, if you've heard of the Bronze Age, like, they were dealing with copper, which is great to make electrical wires, but really crappy to make a knife out of. And somebody figured out you put a little bit of tin, this other metal, in with copper, and oh my goodness, bronze is a completely different thing. And oh, we had plenty of iron, but oh wow, we could take some carbon out of that and maybe add a little chromium, and oh my goodness, stainless steel is a lot different than cast iron. And that's how revolutionary this is. And only in Jesus. Like, you and I can strive for this, and the church, we're supposed to work on this, but my goodness, Jesus offers this one thing the world does not have, which is grace and truth in this perfect alloy. And here's the thing. Churches, we're not consumers of grace and truth. We were designed to be sort of the factory where that's created. Where in fact, Jesus said that they would know us by our love. Like, what he was saying in that, like, love is really that perfect amalgamation of grace and truth. In fact, it's not just for weddings when it says that, you know, love is patient, love is kind, love does not remember. All of those things together are basically a beautiful blend of grace and truth. And that's what we have to offer. And I want the guys to come back up here and play another song for us. But I don't know what the future for church attendance looks like. I don't know how they do church in another 10 years or 100 years, because it's changed so much over the years. I just know that this, I am the way, the truth, and the life thing, this access to the Father, and allowing Christ to be the ultimate curator of your reality, to allow Christ to tell you what is actually true. And then sort of this access to a replenishment of life. That, man, that's something to subscribe to. That's something that changes the world. And Mitch walked in here yesterday morning and caught me praying, which I've been caught doing more embarrassing things at church, but it felt weird. I didn't know he was coming in, and I was here doing something else. But as I sat up there in that balcony, he must have thought, what's Don doing? He's sitting in the dark in the balcony. He's finally, I wasn't going to jump, Mitch. That's what he thought, I think. But I was actually praying this for you and for me, going, man, God, I'm not nearly grateful enough for this. And there's so many things. It's so funny, like 10 years, 11 years after the church started, so many things I don't know, and so many things I go, oh, I might not have done it that way, or man, I'm not sure that's going to work in the future because times have changed, but this thing. I just want to say, not as a preacher, not as a part of the church, just as a man, just as Don Record, the 50-year-old painting contractor, this works. This subscription to the truth, the subscription to a way of living. Man, I am so, so grateful for how it has changed my life and my family's life. And so I want to ask you to consider subscribing to that very same thing. And we're, as long as we can, and as long as we sort of have breath, and as long as this world works in a way that we can do it, this is what Action Church exists to ask you to do. Dear Lord, God, we are grateful for the power of your grace and truth in our life. And God, there are so many things we can't control, and there are so many things we can't explain. And there's so many things that, quite honestly, we don't understand, and we need your wisdom. But my God, we are so grateful for a way. And God, thank you for truth in the life. And God, we do thank you for Jesus. And God, I just pray for everyone here. It's not a mistake they're here. And God, I just pray that we'd be able to offer this as a church to York County and beyond in the next 10 years, the next 11 years, however long you would like us to. God, I pray that we would be a